Come on, come on, come on, come on. Turn around to the people around you. Say, Happy Pentecost. Happy. You know, we're so good about that with Christmas and Easter, right? But Pentecost, which is a major feast of the church, we should be bold about that too. It's a joy to be with you today to celebrate this major feast of the church. We got a full day here at the cathedral. We already did an earlier service, but we've got baptisms, two of them, confirmations, receptions, two people reaffirming their faith. I'm grateful for it all. I'm grateful to Dean Kate Moorhead, who I know we all pray is having a good sabbatical. I miss her. And I'm grateful to all of the clergy and staff of this cathedral, to the wardens and members of the cathedral chapter who make this cathedral a very special place, don't they? Yeah. Don't they? Let's do that. Let's do that. Yeah, it's a great place to grow in the Spirit, to be formed in Christ. And also this morning, how spectacular. Tim Toller, organist and choir director of this choir, and the music and the brass. Right? Come on. Let's. Yeah, that's Pentecost. That's Pentecost. So we give thanks for that. Anyone visiting the cathedral for the first time this morning to support confirmants and those being received? Yeah, raise your hands high. Let's see. Let's acknowledge them and say welcome. We're glad that you're here. Good. Any other first-time visitors to the cathedral this morning? First-time visitors? I'm not going to make you stand or anything. Just raise your hands so I can see you. We're glad you're here. We've got a wide range of people participating in these rites today. Again, including both infant and adult baptism. I love this. A range of age of peoples being confirmed. It's proof positive that God's work is never done with us. God, say that with me. God's work is never done with us. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's constantly on the move in the church, in our world, and in our lives. But too often we act as if God can be tamed and controlled and manipulated by us and our agendas, but that's not so. It's just not so. And Pentecost is a sure reminder of this. I love Pentecost. It is one of the few church holy days that has not been co-opted by the wider culture. I think that's a good thing. Perhaps it's also because it's not so easily controlled or manipulated or cutified. It's like, well, it's like wind and fire. Unpredictable. Wild, even. And sometimes frightening. Do you know that there have been more than 2,100 wildfires in Florida since the first of the year? Did you know that? 2,100 wildfires in Florida. Climate change has burned more than 102,000 acres. Climate change has contributed to more frequent drought conditions in Florida over time. Lightning often triggers wildfires, and of course, Florida is the lightning capital of the United States. Of course, wind fuels the fire, causes them to spread. It's also unpredictable. And if that's not enough uncertainty for us, the 2025 hurricane season began on June 1st. And that comes to us with some dread, doesn't it? Always. We were in Florida, in South Florida, Southeast Florida, my wife and I, for 18 and a half years, and we went through five of them down there. Forecasts are calling for an above-average season this year with 13 to 18 named storms. Wind and fire, frightening, wild, unpredictable, but also life-giving. Wind and fire have always been a natural part of nature's ecological balance. The problem with climate change is it's increased the frequency and fury of the natural events we experience. Still, wind and fire are essential to nature. They cleanse and renew and make space for new life. Wind and fire, unpredictable as they are also essential to our spiritual lives in Christ. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. Wind and fire. Yes, unpredictable, But in this instance, constructive, cleansing, renewing, accomplishing God's purposes. They come to us as gift and grace of God, the gift of Christ to fill us, to empower us, to drive us forward in Christ's work and mission of love in the world. The word Pentecost literally means 50th day. I'm sure you knew that. Today is the 50th day after Easter. But as the reading from Acts makes clear, Pentecost was observed by Jews before it became a Christian observance. In Judaism, Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Shavuot. It is the 50th day after Passover. And remember, Passover and Easter are intimately connected. Pentecost, Shavuot, also known in Judaism as the Feast of Weeks, was originally a harvest festival. It was a feast when the community celebrated the first fruits of the harvest and gave thanks to God for them. After the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD, Pentecost became less associated with the harvest and became more a commemoration of the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, with an understanding that the interval of time between the Exodus and that giving of the law, that first Passover and the giving of the law to Moses was 50 days. That's why our reading from Acts today begins when the day of Pentecost had come. It's why they were all together in that place. They were there for the feast. They were there for the celebration, the Jewish celebration of Shavuot, the giving of the law. They were there for the feast, but they got something else. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which came suddenly like the rush of a mighty wind, like tongues of fire dancing above their heads. Mind you, despite the drama of its coming, which no doubt shocked them, the coming of this gift should not have come as a complete surprise. Now, after all, Jesus had told them to expect it. He told them that more than once. We hear that in today's gospel reading from John 14. It's just one of the times he told them. Jesus says to the disciples at the Last Supper, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." There it is. He will give you another advocate, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, Jesus says to those disciples, because he abides in you, and he will be in you. Yes, it's all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the promised advocate. More than this, the Spirit is the resurrected Spirit, or the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus, breathed into each one of those disciples, given them and given each one of us, breathed into us and given us at baptism. At the end of his gospel, Luke, who's also author of the book of Acts, where this story of Pentecost is found, told of Jesus' words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. According to Luke, Jesus said to them, "See, I'm sending you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The Spirit of Pentecost, the Spirit's coming at Pentecost, is the fulfillment of that promise. When it came on Pentecost with a rush like a mighty wind, like tongues of fire dancing, they may well have been shocked and awed at the drama of its coming, but they could hardly have been surprised. He had told them. He'd promised them. And if they'd discovered anything from their experiences with Jesus, they discovered that when he assured them something would occur, it would occur. We can have that same assurance today. Jesus makes the same promise to us. Our observance of Pentecost is not simply a remembrance of events long ago, the law being given to Moses on Sinai, the gift even of the Holy Spirit to those first disciples 2,000 years ago. Our observance of Pentecost includes these remembrances, but it is more than this. Our observance of Pentecost is our celebration that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to us as well. It has been given to us individually as baptized members of Christ's body, the church, as the people of God who make up Christ's church throughout the world, through whom the wind and fire of God's Spirit regularly blows. This Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, molding us, as wind molds the earth, shaping us to be the body of Christ in the world. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and you are not your own, St. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and also writes for us. We, each of us, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, united to God in Christ and through Christ to do Christ's work, to be Christ's presence in the world today. The late great pastoral theologian Henry Nouwen once wrote, without Pentecost, the Christ event, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus remains imprisoned in history as something to remember, to think about, to reflect on. But, Nouwen observes, the Spirit of Jesus comes to dwell in us so that we can become living Christs now. Wow. This movement of the Spirit is dynamic, leading the church always to discover God's activity in bold, wondrous, and boundary-breaking ways. After all, what kind of boundary-breaking was that? The changing of language, of people in all kinds of languages, are hearing God's mighty works. The Episcopal Church's celebration and observance of Pride is another concrete expression of this. While many other Christian people and bodies work to limit the range of the Spirit's movement, to control it, to keep it within bounds, the Episcopal Church has increasingly recognized and affirmed the vibrant movement of the Spirit in the lives of our LGBTQ siblings. On June 1st, the service of blessing and commissioning Pride Month and Pride observances across the Episcopal Church was held at Church Center in New York City. At this service, the Reverend Cameron Partridge, rector of St. Aidan's Episcopal Church in San Francisco, Diocese of California, a trans man, was the preacher and captured this dynamic quality of the Spirit's movement, saying, quote, let us love one another, not even though or despite our queerness or transness, but because of the unique human beings God has created us to be and to become. In the face of so many, he said, who refuse to know us, may our love and lives reflect the glory of God upholding and transforming us, strengthening us, and charging us to make our way forward in this moment together. Our own presiding bishop, Sean Rowe, wrote to all of us in the Episcopal Church, quote, Pride gives us an opportunity to remember the struggles, celebrate the joy, and give thanks for the love of God that binds us together and makes us one. He went on, especially this year, Pride provides an opportunity to stand against injustice and fear by proclaiming that LGBTQ+ people are beloved children of God and cherished members of the Episcopal Church and the body of Christ. It is about the Holy Spirit moving in our world, calling us, stretching us, challenging us to see and be Christ's power of love and unity in a world that too often fuels hatred and division, violence and death. The late great Jesuit theologian Karl Rahner captures not only the nowness of the Holy Spirit as it comes to us today, he captures the unpredictability of its rushing winds and dancing tongues of flame. He writes, quote, the Spirit of Pentecost is the Spirit of holy unrest, of eternal discontent, the Spirit that again and again startles us with the cry, you still have far to go, the Spirit that makes even the saints dissatisfied with themselves, makes them their own accusers. The Spirit of Pentecost is the Spirit of repentance, ever renewed, the Spirit that makes the heart humble and contrite. It is the Spirit, Rahner writes, that renews the face of the earth, the Spirit of life ever new in the forms, ever new in new forms, on new roads, in new conveyances, on bold ventures. This, he says, is how the Holy Spirit is and wills to be the Spirit of the Church. That's the significance of Pentecost. It is what our celebration is all about. It is about the power and movement of God's Spirit through us in a world desperately, desperately in need of that love. So, happy Pentecost. And let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be recreated, and you will renew the face of the earth. Lord, by the light of the Holy Spirit, you have taught the hearts of your faithful. In the same Spirit, help us to relish what is right and always to rejoice in your consolation. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.